Hello, everybody. I'm Jeremy Pearsons, and this is the Believer's Voice of Victory. Here we are right at the beginning of a new year, 2020. And my grandfather, Brother Kenneth Copeland, has received words from the Lord about this year. And this year will be the year of new visions, manifest power, and great change. And many of you, if you're wise right now, you're seeking the Lord for His direction about this year. And on today's broadcast, we're going to be talking about the anointing in the born-again believer that gives them the ability to excel and to prosper, just like a specialist in a field of study. So right now, let's join Brother Copeland as he teaches on the importance of staying in the flow of your calling.
Father, thank You for what You spoke to me earlier today and what You've been talking to me about again for quite some time, several years, in fact. Thank You for clarity, insight, ideas, and concepts of the kingdom of God and God's way of doing things. And we praise You and thank You for it. I bless You this morning, my Savior. I receive in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles with me this morning to Romans chapter 10. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ, the Anointed One, His anointing is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks. Faith speaks. Righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. What does it say? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That is the word of faith which we preach. I have had people say this to my face, and others said it behind my back. That Copeland doesn't preach the whole counsel of God. I don't know the whole counsel of God. Now, I know what they're trying to say. I just preach on one thing all the time. Yes, that's my job. That is my job. We're at a place right now in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God. We are being required by the Spirit of God to have understanding of what I'm about to share with you. The ministry of a pastor comes more closely qualified to preach the whole counsel of God, but still, you don't just preach all over the place. It is very, very necessary for a pastor to know the calling of the church and stay in that flow of the calling of the church. This is a faith church. This is a church with the same calling as its founder, which was me.
Amen.
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 So, what I want to talk to you about today, there are those that are called and anointed to teach and preach praise and worship and glory. There are people called in that flow. And you hear people say, well, they're not in our camp. I tell you, I despise that term. I despise it. I was visiting with Kelly about it just in the last few days, and it's not in our camp. Come on. We don't have a camp. Absolutely, we don't have a camp. We're the kingdom of God. We are the church, glory to God. And thank God for people who know to what they're called.
Amen.
And stay in it, glory to God. And don't venture out of it. There are specialists. Now, we've learned this. Let's take the most exact example and illustration that I know. There are general practitioners, general family medicine. Amen. That would be more like the pastor. But even a general practitioner knows to whom and to what he or she is called. Now, our family is most blessed. Glory to God. Lindsay, Kelly's daughter, my granddaughter, thank you very much. Lindsay married a young medical doctor. And Alex is Hispanic. And he's in the latter time of his residency right now. They're in Fresno, California. Now, here's a man, highly qualified in two different languages to two different people. Glory to God. Amen. I said amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. And every time I pray for them, every time I hold them, I just see millions of books, glory to God, because he knows exactly what part of medicine into which he's called. He's called into preventive medicine. Much like Dr. Colbert, most of you here are acquainted with or know him, are acquainted with what he does. Now, what if you have a Dr. Colbert that's very, very fluent in English and Spanish? Oh, come on.
Yeah.
See what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So now here's my grandson now that knows to whom he's called and to what he's called. And he's in it.
Amen.
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 That's where his wealth is.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen.
That's where his wealth is. So what's he doing? Teaching, preaching, and healing. Come on. Come on. Now, what does he do if a patient comes to him and they diagnose with cancer? Well, the first thing he's going to do is teach and preach. Amen. And do what he knows to do concerning that patient's divine healing as well as medical science. Amen. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
But there is available to him specialists in that field.
Amen.
Amen. Can you see where I'm going with this? Now, so what would happen if Alex takes his patient to see the specialist? Are they going to fight with one another?
No,
I don't believe in what you do. You're not in our camp.
No.
That is the definition of stupid.
It sure is.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, there are people called. Oh, I'm telling you, I have such just glorious opportunities in this area. Two young men that are especially precious to me. One of them is Michael Koulianos, who is Benny Hinn's son-in-law. And the other is Todd White. Now, these young men, miracles come on. There's one, Kelly was in the meeting. And I got to watch it on video. My goodness, this woman had been totally blind for a number of years. I mean, completely blind. Her husband had gone home to be with the Lord. And she, after several years, had remarried. She'd never seen her husband's face. I mean, it had been that long, you know, long time. And so she came up. Kelly, help me if I start telling this wrong, you jump in, okay? And they were up. Michael had people up on the platform, and he was ministering to different ones. And she came up there for ministry. All of a sudden, like that. I can see.
Hallelujah.
Am I getting it right, Kelly? Just like that.
Amen.
Totally got her eyesight, completely got her eyesight back. She's just simply beside herself. She's just completely beside herself. Well, her very, very good friend had gone up there with her. And she knew her back before Satan stole her eyesight. And she said, she saw her. I'm so thrilled. She said, I have somebody I want to introduce you to. She said, okay. And she turned around and looked at this man. She said, I would like to introduce your husband to you. And when he said something, she knew his voice. How would you like to have some of that in your life in ministry? They are glory specialists. They have lived in it, walked in it. Praise and worship. Brother Hagin said, if you praise God long enough, the spirit of worship will fall. And when you begin to worship God, the glory comes.
Amen.
And they have lived in that and walked in that and believed that and developed in that. Amen. But now when it came to taking a situation, going to the Word of God, get the answer to the prayer, and then go to Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, and 25, take a stand in the book of Ephesians, glory to God, having done all to stand therefore. With the full armor of God on, and don't you ever turn loose, don't you ever let go. And they were really wanting to know about that. And so they began to kind of hound me. They didn't have to hound me for about 30 seconds, you know. And so they'd come out here to my hangar office where nobody bothers. And we just talk and talk and talk. I say, talk about the glory. No, we don't want to talk about that. We want to talk about faith. Well, I'm wanting to hear about glory. I'm wanting to know what they're doing, you know. Amen. I want to talk about faith, man. Let's talk about faith. How do you do this thing? How do you get out of debt and stay out of debt?
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. The streams are merging. The streams are merging. A trickle becomes a stream, which becomes a river, which becomes a flood.
Yes, sir.
And floods are not containable. Somebody ought to shout amen over there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're there. We're in the midst of this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. You'll have. Now, don't try to anoint yourself. Just make yourself available.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
The manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. Now, first of all, no fruit of the Spirit, no gifts of the Spirit. Remember what we talked about last year, the big 18? Well, the fruit comes first. I said the fruit comes first. And when you look at it, love, it starts off with God. So you could say it like this. Love and joy because it's God. Peace because it's in Jesus. And it's in you. Now that needs to be developed. You start by developing that. That's where it all starts, right there. Amen. And then you walk in that. You be very, 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 very cautious about strife and unforgiveness. I mean, you fight it like you fight a snake that crawled into your kitchen. What if you walked into, you got a little child asleep in the bed, and you walk in there and there's a diamondback rattlesnake laying coiled up right there underneath that bed? Whoa. I'm going to tell you, fury would come all over you. Now, you'd be afraid of a snake if it's outside, but it's in there where your baby is. I'm telling you, you grab a shotgun. I know what. You grab anything you can get your hands on and kill that rascal. Well, there's something a whole lot more dangerous than a natural snake when you've allowed unbelief and you've allowed strife and unforgiveness to worm its way into your life, and you need to get mad about it, and you need to get strong about being mad about it. I'm telling you, furious about it.
Yes.
You're not coming to my house, devil.
Yes.
You're not coming into my ministry. You're not getting in my mouth. I will not allow it. You can't do it in the name of Jesus. So, help me, God. What did I say? So help me, God. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Streams coming together. And all of them, healing streams. If you know Jesus, you've got a healing ministry. Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. So I began this portion of this thing, but don't try to anoint yourself. Just be available.
Amen.
See, the anointing came in you when you got born again. Read 1 John chapter 2. Amen. the unction. Same word for anointing. Exactly the same word in Spanish. Right, Rafael?
Unción.
Amen. Exactly the same word. Unction to function. Glory to God. The anointing to live. Praise God. Every born again believer that has received and walks in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues, every one of us, regardless to what you are called, whether you're called as a school teacher, whether you're called to be in business, or whether you're called as an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, or whether you're called in the ministry of helps, or whether you're called to be a student, every born again Holy Ghost baptized believer has the potential for every gift of the Spirit. Every one of them. Every one of them.
Hello, everybody. I'm Jeremy Pearsons. I want to welcome you to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Right now, we're starting the new year strong on the Word of God. Today, we're going to be hearing a special teaching from my grandfather, Brother Kenneth Copeland, on learning to function in your gift. What does that mean? You need to find out, because flowing in your anointing from God and allowing the ministry of the Holy Spirit to manifest in you the power of Jesus will change your life. This message today will make you bold to be who God has called you to be and to live as a bright light for His glory.
There are two that especially come to mind to me right now in talking about this. A young man whom I know very well. When he was just a teenager, had a malignant tumor on the brain. And the surgeon, this took place at the City of Faith in the ministry of Oral Roberts. This is back before the City of Faith was turned into something else. And he was operating on him to remove that tumor from his brain. He went in there praying in the Spirit. He went in there praying in tongues. And just as he began to make that incision, the Spirit of God said, stop. Now he's praying in tongues. He said, if you make the standard cut, you'll kill him. Wow. What is that? Word of knowledge. Yes. Yes. And showed him exactly where to place that blade. Wow. Exactly where to place it. That young man is alive and well and in the ministry today. Wow. Word of knowledge function. Amen.
Well, I don't understand why the gifts of healing didn't work and he just healed him on the spot.
The key word there is you don't understand. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you this. The gifts of healing worked. The young man's healed. The gifts of healing worked. Amen. The supernatural gifts of healing to manifest and just destroy that tumor were functioning in a different stream. Amen. And manifested as the word of knowledge. Earnestly covet the best gifts. The best gift. What is the best gift? The one you need at the time. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So, and you could really get in and work with this in lots of different ways. But I use that to reveal this to us. Don't try to pick your gift out. Just be a gift. Now, when there is an office of ministry, then there are certain gifts that function more predominantly as tools of the trade. Praise God. Now, Dwayne is one of these men that's anointed to preach in both languages. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, that thrills me. I'm set up in 2020 for total immersion again.
Amen.
Gloria a Dios.
Gloria a Dios.
Amen. Muchas gracias, amigo. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is the manifested ministry of Jesus. Now, Jesus ministered in the world, in the earth, when he was here in the flesh, predominantly as a prophet. Predominantly as a prophet. And a teacher. And he taught more than anything else. Now check it out. Study and work with and make a study of the gifts of the Spirit. And then go to the First Testament and spot the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Now, the ones that are not in the Old Testament, it's mentioned, but it's not manifest, are tongues and interpretation of tongues. That came after Jesus was raised from the dead and in the time of the church. Amen. Now, when you get over into areas like, do all speak with tongues? Do all work miracles? Don't get hung up and confused in that. It was the norm that everybody that got born again got baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke with tongues. That was the norm until foolish people messed it up, because listen, that's the most dangerous thing to Satan there is. You go to walking in that kind of power, my, 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 the biggest thing he could do is get you to believe that that's gone somewhere else. But he's a liar. And the father of it. And deserves everything he gets.
Amen.
Amen. No, that's talking about, do all speak with tongues? That's talking about, do all operate in diverse kinds of tongues as a ministry gift. Are you listening to me? Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No, of course not. Do all minister in tongues? No. Do all minister in the interpretation of tongues? No. It's available. Amen. But everybody that's born again ought to be a tongue talker. Because the baptism with and in the Holy Spirit of God is the gateway to the supernatural. Whoa. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes. Supernaturally communicating with your Father.
Amen.
Oh, my, my, my. And people kind of skirt around it, you know, and say, Well, no. And the minute you start that, don't go there. Don't go there. Don't try. Yeah, but do I have to speak in tongues? No, you get to.
That's right.
Oh, but Brother Copeland, what? You know what you're whining about? You don't want to give up your tongue. I'm afraid I might say the wrong thing. No, you're not. And besides that, you know better than that. Have you never said the wrong thing? Did God... Of course he didn't. Would a son ask for food and a father give him a serpent?
No.
Absolutely not. You being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And give you that language. Amen. With which you can communicate with him. Out, you can truly get out of your mind. You can truly get out of your mind. I've had people say to me, Copeland, you're out of your mind. I say, yeah, don't bother me. Don't bother me. I don't want back in there. I don't want back in my mind. I want in my spirit with God. The only mind I want into is the mind of Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So help me, Jesus. Oh, I love him. Don't you love him this morning? Come on, give him some more praise. Give him some more honor. Somebody woke up this morning with a very, very sore throat. Is that somebody in the building here? Or is that someone online? Come up here, baby. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Gloria, would you come help me, please? Thank you, Lord Jesus. We don't have sore throats at EMIC. Yeah, EMIC. You'll get that later. Amen. Don't you love Jesus?
I do.
Isn't it wonderful you don't have to have sore throats around here?
Yep.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Gloria, put your hand right here, right there. No, up, right in there, yeah. Okay. In the name of Jesus. Take a big swallow. Yeah, it's good, huh? Yeah. Woo. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The word of faith which we preach. That's what we preach here. Now, we preach the word of faith. That is the mainstream of this church and the calling of this ministry. Amen. Now, everything then that has to do with faith. Faith worketh by love. Well, I don't care what calling, what stream you're flowing in and through, and what's flowing through you. Oh, we all preach the love of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Absolutely. We all preach the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We all preach and teach and flow in the love of God. Hallelujah. And we all do what we do by faith.
Amen.
the difference, and hey, when I'm talking about Michael Koulianos, I'm talking about Daniel Kolinda, I'm talking about Reinhard Bonnke, I'm talking about these great men and women of God, Marilyn Hickey, glory to God. That woman, I tell you, glory to God. She just puts her scarf on and goes right in among the Muslims and has healing meetings, and they just come by the tens of thousands. Yeah. Amen. Bold as a lion. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And boldness is another thing. Now, we must, in line with the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians, we must begin to seek and ask and believe we receive more boldness. Boldness to do. Boldness to act. It's easy in here this morning. But we're talking about on the street. That Todd White, I tell you, he beats all I ever saw. I mean to tell you, he, for a long time, his wife would not go to the grocery store with him. She would not go. He'd just go in the grocery store and say, "May I borrow your microphone?" And yeah. There is an anointing up here at the cash register for healing of ears. Anybody that has any problem, I'm telling you what, he actually did this over and over again. Anybody that has any problem with your ears, come on up here. And people start coming up there, ganging up around the checkout stand and getting healed. Just getting healed all over the place. Now that's boldness with a capital B. It's necessary. It's necessary in the kingdom. How do you become that bold? You ask for it. You find the scripture on it. And you believe you receive it. And then you act on it. Oh, Brother Copeland. No, you ain't ready yet. Amen. It's a lot easier than you think it is. It's like everything else, John. You take that first step, and it comes on you. It just comes on you. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. I've had it happen on the street. Thank you, Lord. I'd have the Lord say, pray for her. Particularly people that in wheelchairs and things like that, more wheelchairs than anything else where I'm personally concerned. Pray for that person. Yes, sir. Amen. May I pray for you? I've never had one of them yet say, "Nah, I don't believe in that stuff." Every one of them said, "Oh, yes, please do. Yes, please do." Years and years ago, in a meeting we had in Lubbock, Texas, people were staying away by the thousands. And so, I mean, and it was in the middle of summertime, and it was hot. This is back in the 70s. And I personally knew a real estate man there. And this is the plan that the Lord gave me. And so I called him. I said, "I want you to take me to the poorest part of Lubbock, Texas." So he did, and we drove down through that neighborhood. And the Lord said, now we had been there 21 days, and this was the last Saturday of the meeting, and we're having a healing service. So, and the word of the Lord came to me. Now this is where boldness comes. You're walking in a neighborhood you've never been in before. And we had certain ground rules. We're going two by two. And we're going to each house, and we cannot mention the meeting. Not until we're ready to leave that place. You cannot mention the meeting. Our ground rule was from the Lord. We are people that know how to pray. Is there anyone in this house that needs prayer? We're here to pray. And we paired off. I was paired with a young man named Joe Mulford, who just went home to be with the Lord here just a few weeks ago. Oh, what a man of God. And different ones were paired up. Anyway, and going down the street, knocking on these doors. One place that Gloria knocked on the door. And who was your partner, Gloria? I don't remember who. Anyway.
Somebody.
Huh? Jesus was your partner. Yeah. Yeah, he was. Anyway, Gloria and her partner knocked on this one, and this woman looked out the window. And she, Gloria asked him, said, "Is there anyone here that needs prayer?" She said, "Oh, don't go away. Don't go away." And so they stood out there for a little bit. George, she changed clothes and kind of straightened up a little bit. Poor neighborhood. And then invited Gloria and her partner in. Joe and I went into one. I knocked on the door, and this woman opened a little peek up like that. And I said that, you know, "Is there anyone here that needs prayer?" "You boys Pentecost?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, we are." She said, "Okay, but now wait a minute." She said, "We going to sister's house." So we didn't go in her house. We went to sister's house, which was up out back behind her house. And we walked in there. She's talking all the way, you know, going. She said, "Now, sister," she's talking about, you know, how she thinks it had happened to her, and she's kind of spaced out. And I look back on it, and I think probably it was Alzheimer's, but nobody said anything, but, you know, just dementia. So anyway, we walked in there, Joe and I, and she said, "You know, this old neighborhood's gotten so bad." She said, "I don't get out and go to church anymore. I can't." That she said, "I've been praying and asking somebody to come help me pray for sister. I'm so glad you boys are here." And so we walked in there, and we just, of course, walked over there to sister. I laid hands on her in the name of Jesus, and she said, "Well, glory to God. Where'd you boys come from?" She said, "Sister, can you see them?" "Why, of course you can. I can see them. Look in that refrigerator there and get them a Dr. Pepper." She was blind.
Wow.
Diabetes had taken her eyesight. Didn't know anything or anybody. Just that quick, received her healing. Just began to pray in the spirit, and so did I, and so did sister. Glory to God. And so did Joe. Amen. Now, this happened all day long. Just people opening the door. Boldness to go. Boldness to speak. Not one said, "No, nah, don't be coming in here." Thank you, Lord. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hello, everybody. I'm Jeremy Pearsons. I want to welcome you today to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Now, every one of us benefits from listening to and obeying the voice of the Holy Spirit. And right now, as we begin this new year, there are many people who are looking for direction. They're seeking, if they're smart, seeking God's plan for their lives. And my grandfather, Brother Copeland, begins this broadcast today sharing the impact of being bold in the Lord. Now, he's going to conclude this teaching with a word from the Lord about going upward and taking the high ground for Jesus. So right now, get your Bible and let's join him for today's study.
The key issue to this, number one, listen to God. He has the answer. Number two, be bold enough to carry it out when you receive it. You're going to have to go into something we had never done before, had never seen before. I never talked to anybody before that had ever asked for the poorest place in town. But the Lord said, that's what he said, do. Don't call your friends and neighbors. Call the lame, the blind, the halt, and the poor. And so that's what we did. And man, they came. Glory to God. Changed our lives. Changed our whole ministry. And when you get in that kind of environment, that's when the gifts of the Spirit manifest. I don't care whether you're a teacher, preacher, or what you are. You get out there, the gifts of the Spirit will manifest. The gifts of the Spirit will manifest. Right in the middle of everything, the Spirit of God will manifest Jesus. Just right among the whole place. Glory. Say boldness.
Boldness.
Say I receive it.
I receive it.
I ask for it.
I ask for it.
I believe it.
I believe it.
I take it.
I take it.
I'm bold in the Lord.
I'm bold in the Lord.
When I know the word. That covers the situation. Then I'm bold to act on it.
Wherever I am,
and whatever I'm doing,
I'm Jesus
to own to command.
And I will boldly respond.
Because I'm bold as the lion of the tribe of Judah. Ha ha ha. Now, don't be like that lion that walked up to the giraffe and said, "Roar! Who's the king of the beasts?" And the giraffe said, "Oh, you are." And he walked up to the gorilla. "Roar! Who's the king of the beasts?" The gorilla says, "Yeah, it must be you." He walked up to the elephant. "Rah! Who's the king of the beasts?" And the elephant just wrapped his trunk around his neck. And just stuck him up in the mud bank. And he pulled his head up. He said, "Well, you don't have to be so rude about it just because you don't know the right answer." I was in Canoga Park, California years ago, and I had taught along these lines, and we were close to them, close them in. This was a 3-week meeting also. Had a great meeting there, and boldness and the power of the Word of God. And there was a guy, and this guy was, he was demoniac. He just came storming in that meeting. And he came up to the front door, and this young man standing out there in the front door said, "In the name of Jesus, you just stop." Well, he just decked him and come walking right on in there. Come walking right straight up to me. Walked up there to me and like to collapse. Now, what's the difference? Maturity, number one. Number two, anointing to do that. Amen. Amen. Now, this young man was to be commended for his boldness. Well, I mean, it didn't stop him. I mean, he got right up and came right on in there. And I won't go into the rest of it. It took a little while to minister to him, but we took care of business. But this kind of boldness that one of my favorites of all, back in the very early days, little town right south of Amarillo called Hereford, Texas. And Hereford's still not very big today. And here again, we had a 3-week meeting in an abandoned store. It was amazing. And there's people that were coming in there from, I'm telling you, and by that third week, I mean, that place was just crammed out. We just had so much fun. And it'd hold, you know, 300 or 400 people, something like that. And you start off with, you know, three. And then but anyway, the pastor of the, I think it's the First Methodist Church, anyway, Methodist Church there in Hereford. Now, he had been an alcoholic truck driver. accepted Jesus, I mean, got born again, got delivered from alcohol, praise God, loved God, and now he's pastor of that Methodist church. Well, several of his members received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But what upset him was when I went into the Word and showed where Jesus went to hell. No, he said, there ain't no way, nope, I'm not going for that. And the little platform we had, it was just a little step up like this. And the whole thing wasn't big as this center section here. And two doors right there in the back. And he just popped through those doors. Now, I'm standing on this platform and he's still taller than me. This is a big guy. And I'm standing there looking at him and he's frowning. And I thought to myself, Jesus, here he comes. And I said, okay. And he walked up to me. I mean, he just stormed up to me. And when he got up to me, he's still this much taller than I am. And he said, Remetke. Loningele. Romanuenu. And he just fell on the floor. Just praying in the spirit, just hard and fast as he could. Just praying and praying. Well, that was the end of the meeting right there. And of course, he's got church members there that are just losing it. They are so thrilled. Their pastor just got baptized in the spirit, and they are so thrilled. And they're just going, he went on and 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 on. Well, he came back then the next day, and he told me, he said, I went home, went to bed. He said, I couldn't sleep. He said, I can't want to do nothing, pray in tongues. So he said, I went next door to the parsonage, and I just got on my knees, and he said, I just prayed and prayed and worshiped, prayed and prayed and prayed. And all of a sudden, he said, I stopped. I said, Jesus, did you go to hell? He said, you better believe it, big boy. If I hadn't, you would have. Amen. Come on, give the Lord praise and thanksgiving. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Pastor George, would you come up and see if there's some way to close this? I'm big on starting, but closing is, it takes some effort for me to close.
This has been so good today.
Thank you, sir.
So refreshing today. Haven't you enjoyed this?
Thank you, sir.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
Elio Frimo, Eleskara, Erepanel, Le Enema, Vraha, Ete, Kriti, Shikoko, Lombrotis, Mbritos, Laburlekle, Nangran and Stunt Run Sto Lopochi Klaka. Continue as you have been, one step at a time, going upward, 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 upward to the high ground. As Moses climbed Mount Nebo, once he stood upon that mountain, he could see all the promised land. And as we rise up, saith the Lord, and take that high place, stand on top of the high ground, we have advantage over all of the enemy's forces, over all his ideas, over all his plans. For as we take the high ground of integrity, the high ground of manifested holiness and righteousness, the high ground in a place where we walk into that place and onto that place because of that place wherein we are called, and staying on track, watching, looking, and listening for more advanced orders, walking as soldiers in the army of the Lord. We are specialists. We're faith specialists. We are healing specialists. Glory to God. We are specialists in ministering the Spirit of the living God. And we take that place that the Lord added to this ministry of walking as prosperity agents in the realm of the wealth of God. And as we took that place, of course, we received much persecution. But persecution doesn't do anything. It doesn't have any place. You just don't pay any attention to it. Just kill it and go on. You kill it with love. And you kill it with joy. And you kill it with praise and worshiping. And you don't even listen to it. Why? Because you're on a high ground. You're in a high place. Standing up on the top of the mountain. Not crawling up the sides or wondering what's going to happen. But we've taken the high ground, George. We've taken the high ground. And we're in the most precious place we have ever been in our ministry life. It is a place not only of honor and glory and joy, but it is a place under which we're called. And the Master himself has called us up to this place. Now, we take advantage of this place over the enemy. And we become a lighthouse from on high. A lighthouse of the love of God. Building a place where love is king. Amen. Where people can come and can physically and emotionally feel the love of God when they step onto this property. For this is the revival capital of the world. It is a place where love is flowing like melted snow coming from the top of a tall mountain and flowing down each side like a molten river of hot love. And it's flowing into the lives of people, and it's flowing throughout this whole area around here. It's flowing into other churches in this area. It's flowing in through the city of Fort Worth. Praise God. And we'll know and understand more and more and more about this in the future, for the best is yet to come, but it's coming more rapidly than it ever has in our history. Glory be to God for it. We've climbed Mount Nebo, and we're looking at the promised land.
Glory to
Hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah.
Praise
Thank
God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Praise God.
Praise you, Lord.
Hello, I'm Jeremy Pearsons, and this is the Believer's Voice of Victory. In today's broadcast, my grandfather, Brother Kenneth Copeland, gives the answer to any problem, any dilemma, any challenge that you may be facing in life. You know what the answer is? Have faith in God. Now, this comes as a new revelation for some, or it might just be a good refresher course for others, but I encourage you today to hear it with an expectation to receive. As a born-again believer, you have a covenant with God, and you need to find out what that covenant includes and why every believer should have a working knowledge of the fundamentals of faith.
Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 11. We've been talking about the basic fundamental of faith known as calling things that be not as though they were. And that one, in my experience over the last 53 years that I've been studying it and preaching it, it's actually the first message I ever preached. And some people had to get over religion. All I had to get over was sin. I mean, that was my background. When I came in, this is the only thing I've ever known. And somebody said, well, Brother Copeland, maybe you need to learn some other things. You need to be well-rounded. I don't want to be well-rounded. This is what I'm called to do. Well, Brother Copeland, don't you know anything else? Yeah. Well, when are you going to preach something else when you get this? No, this is the primary assignment of this ministry. And other things that have to do with faith, the love of God, healing, deliverance, the righteousness of God, tearing down strongholds of fear, all of that revolves around, well, think about the armor of God, above all, taking the shield of faith, because none of it works without faith. None of it works without love. Faith works by love. It is by faith so that it might be by grace. Did you notice the faith was first? Well, everyone, every preacher, every believer should have working knowledge of the fundamentals of faith. Every pastor, every apostle, every prophet, every evangelist, every pastor, every teacher should be a teacher and preacher of faith. Amen. We are faith people. God is a faith God. So, however, I do want to mention this fact, and this is misunderstood. It's so simple you have to have help misunderstanding. And that is, my calling, the primary calling of this ministry was to study, learn, have working knowledge of the force of faith. Now, that's primarily what I'm called, to teach His people faith. Now, if it comes up sometime and I'm praying and I'm not quite sure what I'm supposed to preach in the service, I just go to Mark 11:22, praise God. And I found out when I go there, see, that's my calling. When I go there, it just branches out from there to wherever I need to be. Now, if I was a specialist in medicine, I wouldn't be trying to do all different kinds of medicine. I'd be doing what God called me to specialize in. If I was a specialist in the field of mechanics, instead of just a general mechanic, if I was a turbine engine specialist, then I don't want to be messing with something else. That's where I need to be studying. I don't need to get off into your job. Amen. And when we get together, we will cover everything. That's what covenant is all about. Are you listening to me? The families covenanted together for the purpose of one family specializes in one thing. Let's take for simple illustration. Here's a family that specializes in farming. They're farmers. That's what they do. Here's another family that specializes in the cattle business. They're ranchers. Well, the ranching people need the farmers. And the farmers need the ranchers. So it'd be good if they had children that married one another, got the farmland and the ranch land hooked up together. That's a simple illustration of covenant. I'm just doing my part. It's what we're called to do. And I'm glad you're part of it. And I'm glad you're my partner helping me do it. Praise God. So let's go to the classic teaching on faith where Jesus taught in the 11th chapter of the book of Mark. Now, I usually, as a practice, start at verse 22. But tonight I'm going to back up and Jesus, in verse 11, entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the evening was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Now, why didn't he do anything? He didn't do anything. He didn't say anything. He just walked in there. And notice, it indicates he looked around at all things and the evening came. It indicates that he spent most of the day in there looking and listening. Now, they were acting just as ugly that day as they're acting the next day. But he didn't do anything. He didn't say anything. Now, that's one of the first wisdoms of faith. And wisdom is the principal thing. Don't just be just flying off and just praying a scatter barrel and just quoting all the scripture you can think of and hope something sticks. No. Now, emergency situation, yes. But when you do that, you do most of that in tongues. And in your praying and standing in the Spirit, and then the scriptures that come up out of you, praise God. That is the wisdom of God. But I'm talking about life in general. And I had the Lord say to me one time, he said, Kenneth, you pray too quick. He said, take the time to meditate on this. Now, let me back up just a little bit. My father in the faith, Oral Roberts, told me this early on. He said, and he was talking specifically about finances, but this work in any situation, I don't care what it is, anything that's an attack, anything that's a problem. He said, take the time to pray in the Spirit in faith. Don't just be just talking in tongues. See, Jesus didn't say, whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them and you'll have them as long as you're praying in a language you understand. No, he just said, when you pray, believe you receive it. All right, let's go back here now. We're still talking about the fundamentals of faith. Now, Jesus walked into that temple. You remember he said, I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I see my Father do. Well, it's very obvious when he walked into that temple, he didn't hear the Father say anything, and he didn't see the Father do anything, so he went back to Bethany. Amen. Now, the scripture doesn't say this, but I know him. You know what he did. He knew he was supposed to be in that temple that day. He went in there and saw what he saw and heard what he heard. And before he did anything about cleaning it out or anything else, he went back home to where he was staying at Bethany there with his friends and prayed that night before he did anything. That's the first wisdom of faith. Amen? All right, now, he went into the temple then. He went back to Bethany, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not. You see, yet is italicized. At that point in time, if a fig tree was filled with leaves, there should be figs on it. If it was at the end of the season, there should still have been figs on there. Amen. That fig tree lied to him. The scripture said he answered it. That fig tree should have had some fruit on it. Cost him his life. There's a lesson in that somewhere. Glory to God. Jesus answered and said unto it. Now count them. 9 words. no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. Now, it was afar off. It was far enough away, he couldn't see that it did not have figs on it till he got over there to it. So, I mean, that, you know, that's a number of steps away. Well, obviously, his disciples didn't follow him over there. But he said it loudly enough that they heard him. Now, I want you to notice him. His disciples heard it. They came to Jerusalem. Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? You've made it a den of thieves. Now, what they were doing, you brought your lamb in there. They would inspect your lamb and say, yours is blemished, and sell you another one. Then after you're gone, they'd sell that lamb to somebody else, claiming theirs was blemished. They had a con game going. Amen. And this was what they were doing. However, I want you to notice something. The mission was not the cleansing of the temple. The mission was the teaching. He came in there to teach, but he had to clean it out before he could teach. Amen. The scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. When evening was come, he went out of the city, and in the morning. Now he went back to Bethany. They had to walk right past that tree. Now, you know good and well they didn't wait until night. Nobody's got a flashlight. The glory's not in manifestation. The fire by night. So there's enough light to see to get back to Bethany, which is a fairly decent walk. So you know Peter well enough to know. He went by that tree. If anything had been noticeable, he would have said something about it.
Amen.
Because the next morning he did. So somewhere, just figure up the timeline, somewhere between 12 and 24 hours, well, when evening was come, in 19th verse, that's 12 hours. And in the morning, that makes 24 hours. So somewhere between 12 and 24 hours. As they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now, there is a specific lesson concerning faith. Faith is not a natural force. Faith is not a mental force. Faith is a spiritual force. And spiritual forces are far more powerful than the forces of physics. Far more. Amen. Spiritual things are from the inside out. When you got born again, when I got born again, when we accepted Jesus, we became what? New creatures. Old things passed away. All things became new. And all old things passed away. All things became new. And all things were of God, who is a spirit. You're a spirit. I'm a spirit being. The real you is a spirit.
You can't see me. I can't see you. All you can see is my earth suit. If you go in space, you got to have a space suit. If you live here, you got to have an earth suit. Amen. And you can only see a little bit of my clothes suit. Amen. But see, you can't see much of my physical body. My hands and my head, all of my physical body. Well, you can't see anything of my spirit. I'm in here looking out at you through these windows. Amen. So, as a spirit being, God is a spirit being. Faith is a spiritual force. Now, before we were born again, we were raised as outside-in people. That's the way we came up in the world. Everything we need is out there, and we need to get it. Amen. Either my parents have it, or an employer has it, or the government has it, and I need it. And there's only just a handful of ways that I can manage to increase myself and add to me. I can work hard, borrow it, or steal it. Well, the third one is out. Borrowing needs to be out. But now where is it? The kingdom of God came on the inside of you and me with the moment we got born again. We were baptized into Jesus. We were baptized into the kingdom, glory to God. What about Colossians, the first chapter? Giving God thanks, who has delivered us from the authority of darkness and has, that happened the moment you got born again, delivered from the authority of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Amen. Now the word translated dear son is agape. We were translated into the love kingdom. Glory to God. And love is God, and it's the most powerful thing in existence. Hallelujah. Yes. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. It's big stuff.
Glory to God.
Now, the kingdom of God came, according to Jesus, into the inside. Everything you'll ever need is right in here. The creator of the universe is right in here. The El Shaddai God is right in here. The God of gods is right in here. Hallelujah. I mean, he knows more about cooking than anybody on earth. He knows more about sports cars than anybody on earth. He knows more about making thimbles than anybody on earth. He made it all. Ow! And he's right in here. You're pregnant with anything you'll ever, ever need. Give him a loud praise. Hallelujah. Now then, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. Now here was Jesus' answer. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. What about my money? Have faith in God. What about my family? Have faith in God. What about my body? Have faith in God. Oh, what about? I don't care what it's about. Have faith in God. And this week we expanded that in talking about the Almighty God, the El Shaddai God, the God who's more than enough, the God who's above everything, the God that created everything, and he created it all for you.
Yes, sir. Glory to God.
Not just a little piece of it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. More than you can see any way to use. And it's all right in here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And faith will take it from in here in the realm of the spirit and the unseen and bring it into manifestation in the seen world and put it in your hand.
Hello, I'm Jeremy Pearsons. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Now, all this week, we've been learning from my grandfather, Kenneth Copeland, how to build our faith. Why? So we can live a better life, a stronger life, more fulfilling life. And a new year has started. And with that, of course, we know comes new opportunities and new challenges. So what do? You look to God for the answers. And all of those answers can be found in Jesus and in His Word. So right now, let's join Brother Copeland for today's Bible lesson and learn together how speaking faith-filled words bring the things that God has promised to become reality in your life.
Faith-filled words dominate the laws of sin and death. For the law of the Spirit of life, that was the law of faith, for the law of the Spirit of life. You want to finish it for me? Made me free from the law of sin and death. So the law of the Spirit of life, the law of faith, faith-filled words dominate the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Isn't that just about the most exciting thing you can think of? Everything bad is under the law of sin and death. It's under the curse. All sickness, all disease. And then the Apostle Paul wrote in the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, God has dealt to every man, every born again child of God, the measure of faith. Hallelujah. You have a measure of mountain-removing faith on the inside of you. You have a measure of planet-creating faith. Turn to the book of Hebrews. Glory to God. First, in the book of Hebrews, let's look there in the very first chapter. God, who at sundry times in a different manner spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things. Well, glory to God, we're joint heirs with Him. What does that say to you? We own everything. Woo, glory to God. By whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power. Amen. Now look at the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews and fasten your seatbelt. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. It was not made out of nothing. It was made out of something you cannot see. It was made with the spiritual force of faith. Glory to God. We live in a word of faith, a word of faith created universe. He believed it in his heart and said it with his mouth. And the Spirit of God was moving on the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was moving and nothing was happening. Nothing could happen until the faith substance was released. And faith is released in God's words. That book you have in your lap, a copy of the two dynamic blood covenants, that those words are filled with God's faith. Just as much as the words when he spoke them and said, light be, the light was. Amen. Isn't that right? Isn't that so? Amen. God's always moving. The great and mighty Spirit of the living God is always moving. He's never static. But now, if something's not happening in your life, strong possibility, you're not giving him anything to work with. Faith-filled words. But he's moving. He's the agent. And all the angels work for him. He's the Lord of hosts. Lord of the Sabaoth. Amen. Those angels are ready. But you're going to have to say something. And you're going to have to say it in faith. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So we live in... Well, let's... Look at it again. Go back over that to the 11th chapter of Hebrews and put your eyes on this one more time. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things, say things, things which are seen were not made of things which appear. I've heard people say he created it out of nothing. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Faith is the substance. It's not nothing, it's just something you can't see. Spiritual force. So, we cannot change. This is the reason why the fundamentals of faith are so vitally important. We cannot change the fact. Nobody can. Every human being breathing on this planet today, billions of us, every one of us live and are dominated. We live in a word created, word upheld environment. This universe is word created and word upheld. Faith is the key ingredient that brings love's desire for this planet to pass. Does Jesus heal you because you have faith? Now, it's necessary to have faith, but he heals you just because he loves you. He's the God that wants everything for you, more than you can see any way to use, abundantly supplied. He said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. How abundant is that, Jesus? More abundant. You mean that? Yeah, more than that. Well, about, yeah, more than that. Well, what about, oh, yeah, more than that. Well, yeah, more than that. Hallelujah. Every human being on the planet lives in a word, faith, created universe and atmosphere. We live in a word upheld, faith created universe. The laws that govern this universe are the laws of words. Words are the most important thing. Words were not created primarily for communication. Words were primarily created for power release. That's the way Adam was supposed to have controlled this planet. But he lost it and had to, he came down out of the level of light down into the natural realm, which is just below the speed of light. That light line. he used to operate on both sides of the light line, like God. Amen. Amen. Now your spirit, you were born again. You are a child of the light, born of the light. And we have and wear the armor of light. That's light energy.
Amen.
You should have gotten more excited about it than that. That's the most powerful thing there is. All material, all natural thing. The molecular structure of that bench and all natural things is moving. It's vibrating all the time, very rapidly. But it's still below the speed of light. Any material or natural thing were to come beyond the speed of light, it would disappear. It would be in the light realm or in the realm of the spirit. Angels, let's say for instance, people that are in heaven right now, I have family there, so do you. They do not have physical natural bodies, but they don't know it. Now they know they don't, but they have no sensation of not having a body because they're spirit to spirit is firm. An angel and a born again new creature in heaven can feel one another. But now there's angels in this room right now. I have one that works me all the time, 100% of the time. There are people that have seen him. But I can't feel his presence. I know he's here and I know what he's doing. But I have spirit to flesh is not firm. He can't feel me, and I certainly can't feel him. He can see me, and I can't see him. He does have an advantage. Amen. But now, Jesus lives in a glorified human body, a flesh body. Now, we're going to get something in. Listen to me carefully. He said, he sat down and he ate. He ate food.
Yes.
And he said, handle me. A spirit hath not flesh and bone as you see me have. No blood. All of his blood is in the heavenly mercy seat in the heavenly holy of holies. Forever. Amen. That's enough to light your candle right there, brother. Hallelujah. See, Jesus, now follow me here. He's like Adam was before he fell. He was not an immortal man. He was an eternal man, created to live forever and just continually to cellularly reproduce forever. And he lived above the light line. To him, flesh to spirit was firm. To Jesus, spirit to spirit is firm. Spirit to flesh is firm. He can shake hands with you. You can see him and feel his touch. Amen. He can shake hands with an angel and see him and feel his touch. He's a glorified human man. That's where we're headed. The next step is the great resurrection. That's where faith is taking us. And now we're going into 2020, a year of a great change and great visions and insights and dreams, praise God. And that we're going to have instances and times when we step across that light line in a dream or in an open vision and step across that line. Now, what happens when an angel is given an assignment? They're spirit beings. This room full of angels right now that you can't see. But when they slow down below the speed of light, suddenly you could see them in order to communicate with us. And I dare say most every one of us in here, because of the scripture, have entertained angels unaware. And didn't know they were angels.
Oh yes.
You getting anything out of me?
Yes.
Well, I am. I'm learning as much as you are while flowing in this flow. So this is the reason why the fundamentals of faith are so vital and so important. And it's so important to learn how to walk in these fundamentals, believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. That puts our spirit being operating up in that light area. The entrance of His word giveth light. Now, it's not just talking about insight. That's good. Insight is powerful, and that is part of the anointing. We're not just, and that's good. I'm not putting that down. That's part of it. But what I'm talking about is light energy. I'm talking about the most powerful thing that the earth has anything to do with. Light energy, laser, light amplified. That's what laser stands for. It's an acronym for amplified light. And it is so powerful, material things can't stand up under the power of it. And it's on the inside of you and me. Living and walking by faith. What do you think miraculous healing is? See, healing is a physical process. Somebody breaks a bone, put it in a cast, you know, reset the thing. What is it, 4, 6 weeks? And it's mended. The process doesn't change. But the anointing a manifestation of light, energy, that process happens in seconds instead of weeks. And the more we learn and the more we walk and live by faith and understand and have working knowledge of the fundamentals of faith, and we learn not to short circuit the thing by calling things that are the way they are. And crying and roundabout and squalling around about things, trying to change things with your emotions, and it doesn't work. Well, that ain't much thing is going to work anyway. Well, at least you had one thing right. No, that's the reason these fundamentals are so important. Now, what is the next fundamental of faith? It'll not work in an unforgiving heart. Why? Unforgiveness is darkness. We're dealing with light energy, not the dark side. We just hit pay dirt right there. It's not just because God didn't want us to act ugly. He's giving us laws. Hey, He would love if it worked. It just won't work. It just doesn't work. And the more you learn, the more highly qualified you are to walk in power, the less you can get away with. It's time to grow up.
Amen.
It's time to quit being so touchy.
Yes.
It's time to walk in love. Faith will not work in an unforgiving heart. Abraham's blessing cannot be received with Thomas's faith. Faith calls things that be not as though they were. Faith demands corresponding action. Faith without works or corresponding action is dead being alone. Let's close with the book of James, please, if you'll turn there. Oldest book in the New Testament, written by the half-brother of Jesus. That's the reason the book of James is so filled with just wonderful wisdom. Glory to God. He was raised in the household with Jesus and saw him live and walk by faith. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 22, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was." Now why? How can you look in? Everybody in this place looked in the mirror today. I dare say there's not a soul in this place that didn't look in a mirror at least once today. Now, tell me the length of your nose. Inches or centimeters? Either one. Millimeters? Why? You never have decided to find out how long it is. If you ever measure it, you will never forget it. Probably because I pulled this on you, some of you will go home and measure your nose. About 2 inches long, wouldn't you say? It's exactly 2 inches long. Because I measured it. I wanted to be the one that did it. But see, I had to have reason to measure it. I had to make a decision. I'm going to see, when I look in that mirror, I'm going to see something specifically. When you go to the mirror of the Word, you go to it with a specific design in your heart and your mind. I'm going to act on this thing. This is final authority in my life. Whatever it says I am, I am. Whatever it says I can do, I can do it. Whatever it says I have it. It's mine. Now that makes it come alive to me. It's no longer just a religious book. Now, glory to God, it has become the testament. It is the last will and testament of Jesus of Nazareth. Some of you need to go to the reading of the will. That's what churches should be. That's where you go to read the will on Sundays and find out what belongs to me. Come on. I said, come on. He's the only man to ever write a perfect will, die, raise from the dead, and become the judge and probate his own will. And he's our Lord.
Yeah.
And everything in there belongs to us.
Amen.
Oh, dear Lord Jesus. And that's what we're doing tonight. We've been talking about the will and what belongs to us in that will.
You have a free resource to help you study and apply the Bible-based truths you just heard. Download the BVOV broadcast study notes today at kcm.org/notes. Collect the notes from each week and use them in a group Bible study. Use the message outline to teach from. Discuss the scriptures and key points with your family of believers. Gain understanding from all the teachings on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Get the whole week of notes today at kcm.org/notes.
Faith always works. Faith always comes. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's the only way it comes. It's because it's governed by law.
The same faith that Jesus used throughout his ministry is available to you as a believer. As you unlock the principles of faith, it will cause you to have sustaining impact and longevity in your life and ministry. The Faith Series package by Brother Kenneth Copeland includes the Faith Series study guide along with the additional Faith Series MP3 audio disc. As you immerse yourself into these foundational resources, you will see your life begin to line up with God's Word, understand the power of mountain-moving faith, and learn how to use your faith on purpose. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Activate the force of faith in your life and start living the life of victory that God has for you.
Become a faith specialist and flow in your calling from God. Request the Faith Series package and learn from Kenneth Copeland how to walk in boldness as you access the same force of faith Jesus used in his ministry. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395 to receive your free package. Offer good for 60 days. Outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
What if you could hit some sort of reset button in life and get a fresh start? Well, listen, instead of a New Year's resolution, how about you and I have a New Year's revelation? Find out who you are in Jesus, who Jesus is in you. And if you've never made Him the Lord and the Savior of your life, today is the day of your salvation. There is a new life that awaits you. Find out who God has called you to be. Find out who God has created you to be, and then give your life to Him. And I know many people watching this broadcast, you're born again, full of the Holy Spirit, shouting amen, but there may be somebody watching right now who's never prayed this prayer, never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Listen to me. Do it right now. Just say this out loud after me. Believe it with your heart. Say, Father in heaven, I come to you in Jesus' name. I believe in my heart that Jesus died for me, that He rose again for me, that He lives for me. Jesus, I confess with my mouth, you are my Lord. Take my life, Lord Jesus. Do something with it. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I repent of all my sin. Make me a new creature, a new creation in you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for my new life in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, the Bible says you are born again. That is the reset button. This is the fresh start. And we want to help you find out who you are in Jesus, because this is a brand new identity. This is a brand new life. And we want to help you find out who Jesus is in you. You can live life now from the inside out with His strength, His ability, His grace, and His power. This is a new life. And we want you to find out who you are in Him. And we want to send this to you. If you prayed that prayer with me, we've got a gift for you. We call it the Salvation Package. It's a book called He Did It All For You by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. And along with this, we're going to send you two little brochures that are going to help you start studying and reading your Bible. And hey, listen, this is free. It's a gift to you. If you want to get a hold of it, request your free Salvation Package today on kcm.org. And then don't forget to download this week's broadcast study notes. They include all the scriptures, all the teaching points, get back into what you've heard, and let it get rooted down on the inside of you.
Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event.
So come together, worship together, and know this, that the greatest is yet to come. The value of prayer is more than you've ever known. And the times of prayer, the times of intercession, have come to a place where it's no longer so much of the groaning, but the praising and the shouting, for the victory has come. Hallelujah.
April 2nd through 4th, Kenneth Copeland welcomes you to the 2020 Branson Victory Campaign at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri, USA. April 23rd through 25th, join Kenneth Copeland at the Sacramento Victory Campaign at the Calvary Christian Center in Sacramento, California, USA. June 29th through July 4th, get ready to celebrate faith and freedom at the West Coast Believers Convention in Ontario, California, USA. August 3rd through 8th, bring your whole family to the Southwest Believers Convention at the Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas, USA. For more information, go to kcm.org/events. Every available voice. Kenneth Copeland Ministries has received the Lord's directive to spread the gospel from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around through every avenue possible. In 1973, KCM started publishing The Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. Since the beginning, the magazine has been a shareable resource with word-based articles by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and special guest teachers. Through the decades, the magazine has helped millions worldwide build their faith and encourage their daily walk with God. The Good News Gazette in the center of each magazine is where you'll find inspiring testimonies from partners all over the world.
You have a reassurance that what he did for one, he'll do for the other, and he's no respecter of persons, and he can do it for you too.
Today, almost 390,000 physical copies of The Believer's Voice of Victory magazine are distributed each month to 198 countries and territories on four continents in six languages. In addition, the magazine can be read online at kcm.org and shared with your family and friends from your computer or mobile device, all with a click, sending the word to more people in more places faster than before. Partner with Kenneth Copeland Ministries and receive your free magazine.
Every Friday on the Believer's Voice of Victory is offering day, and I want to read to you again our foundation scripture for this offering out of the book of Galatians chapter 6. Verse 6 says, "Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." If you've heard good word today or all this week on this broadcast, and it's done something to you, got in your heart, brought change and excitement to your life, well, that's a good thing, but that's not where it's supposed to end. You go before the Lord and say, "Okay, Lord, what do I do with this? How do I make sure that this word doesn't end with me, but it gets into the lives of other people and does for them the same thing it's doing in me?" That's what partnership is all about. When you become a partner with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland in this ministry and the many outreaches of this ministry, then you, through that partnership, are preaching the uncompromised word of faith from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle. You become responsible for broadcasts like this one going out all over the world, and magazines and books and CDs and materials getting into the hands of people who need Jesus. That's the power of partnership. And partners, listen, we thank God for you. We want you to know that Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and this staff are praying for you every single day, and they have such a genuine desire to see you and I grow spiritually and live victoriously. So if you're not yet a partner with this ministry, go before the Lord. Find out if you've got a part to play in this. That's what makes you a partner. Lord, do I have an assignment in this? And if He's got one for you, then get in it and watch what God does through your partnership. Father, we receive the giving of the people today. We thank you for it. We call them blessed, and we say, be increased, be multiplied, and may the goodness of the Lord be seen in your life, in Jesus' name. Now, before we leave today, I want to remind you of the weekly Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. It airs this weekend on Saturday, Saturday and Sunday, and Brother Copeland is teaching on how Jesus responds to your faith. This goes so well with what we've heard all week long. Stay tuned to this broadcast. Watch this weekend, then join us again next week as my grandmother, Gloria Copeland, and my dad, Pastor George Pearson's, will be right here on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Thanks for watching today. We'll see you again next time. Until then, remember that Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth Copeland learned the importance of letter writing from his spiritual father, Oral Roberts. Brother Roberts helped him to understand that the Bible is made up primarily of letters, and that they are just as anointed now as the day they were first written. That day, Brother Copeland made a lifelong commitment to write a letter every month to address the spiritual needs of his partners.
I commit this to you. I write a partner letter every month. I pray for you every day. I'll put scriptures there on the bottom of that partner letter. And I put those on there specifically for your benefit so that you can go back and read those and make them a part of your prayer life.
Kenneth Copeland's promise to his partners has led to over 375 individual letters being written since 1986. The U.S. Post Office mailed 3.7 million partner letters in 2018 alone. These powerful messages from God's heart minister life to your spirit and strengthen you in your daily walk of faith.
I'm a partner for about probably 5 years now, and I enjoy his product, especially his monthly letters. I wait for them in the mail. I just love those. They're so very inspiring.
I really enjoy reading the letter and then also connecting what he wrote in the letter to what I'm hearing him preach in messages. It's almost kind of like the partners are getting a sneak peek of what the Lord is talking to them about.
But I will write them to help them get their needs met, to help them prosper, to help them grow in the Lord and grow in faith and grow in prayer and go from religion to reality, praise God.
Every seat in Kenneth Copeland Bible College has a story, a legacy. Who will you be?
Because from now on, you're going to come to that hill and you're going to throw her back down in a low gear and you're going to say, we're going up this mountain, glory to God, and we're going to the top. And you get to the top and you'll say, I wonder why I hadn't done this before. It is so wonderful. Where's the next mountain? I'm ready to climb. And in this climate, saith the Lord, you are being surrounded by the moving of the Spirit.
We have a seat for you. Apply now at kcbiblecollege.org and revive your faith. Discover your call.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries has an exciting way for you to give and become a part of what God is doing. Text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609. If you prefer, you can also go to kcm.org/give or call 800-600-7395. Text to Give is available in the U.S. only.